It's good to have you here this morning on the holiday weekend. We're glad that you could come and worship with us. And those that might be out in the parking lot or listening later on the website, we're so glad that you've chosen to spend time as we seek the Lord. As we listen to the Lord, let Him speak to us. I know let Leonard will say other things, but just be grateful for the freedoms that we have as Americans. The men and women that have served, lost their lives over the years, just tremendous number of thousands and thousands that have preserved our freedoms, and be grateful. And I know it's not prayer request time, but I'm really troubled about the young couple that were killed in Haiti. Anybody see about that? What was in the paper, you know, Haiti's really messed up now with a lot of gangs taking over. They've opened prisons and let crazy people out and prisoners out. And according to what was in the news, there's a family that started an orphanage back in the 90s. And they had like 50 kids in the orphanage complex, but they were also taking care of another 400. And the mom and dad that started the group left a couple of days ago to go to back home to Oklahoma, and they left their son and his new bride there. And one group of gang broke in the compound this week and stole their trucks, the money, and other things, and tied this young guy up, beat him severely. He got free, and he and his wife and the director went to a house trying to be safe. Another gang broke in and killed him and his wife and director. And I'm thinking how evil it is. You've got people that out of their own free will come to your country to look after your orphans and your needy kids, and you kill them. And since they were all from Oklahoma, I'm trying to think, do I know them? I know so many people from Oklahoma that are on the mission field all around the world just from my few years there. And I'm trying to think, do I know these people? I'm not sure that I do. But they're precious. Young couple got married in 22, so they'd only been married a year or two. So pray for that situation. It's traumatic for those orphans that suddenly no longer have care and anybody looking after them. It's traumatic for the parents that lost their son and their daughter. So just be praying for them. Maybe pray. Father, we come before you thanking you that we have the freedoms that we have. Thanking you that going back 300 years, there have been those who are willing to sacrifice their lives. Some died on the battlefields. Some made it home safely. But Lord, we thank you that they were willing to put their lives on the line that we might be free. Lord, help us to value that freedom. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to fight to protect it. And Father, for this family that's been devastated by a brutal murder, all because they were helping innocent children, I pray for the loving arms of Jesus, the Jesus that they represented there in Haiti, to wrap his arms of love around them, minister to them, Lord, even as the young couple and their director walked into heaven to receive a martyr's crown, I pray that they'll be honored in heaven. And I pray that their families will be comforted on earth. Now, Father, as we study, as we sing, as we fellowship together today, may the Holy Spirit be in charge of all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Thank you, Pastor Ed. This is Memorial Day weekend, and it's a time that we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice that we may have freedom and the freedom that we enjoy. Our music this Sunday will be centered around that, and I will be focused upon that. As we begin with our hymn sing this morning, let's look. We'll be singing page 633. My eyes have seen the glory. The words will be on the board for you all to stand. So as we stand and sing, my eyes have seen the glory, the coming of the Lord.
Stored. He has loosed the fetters of life because his time.
five verses there, so we'll apologize for that. That fifth verse was very important, so I'm glad we sang it. Well, good morning again, everyone. I have some announcements for you that I want to share with you. This Sunday evening is going to be a busy time for you, for a lot of you. A lot of you will start at 5 o'clock and with the youth meeting, with supper at 5 o'clock. And then at 5:30, we'll have adult discipleship training with the announcements there you need to look and see. And then at 6:30, choir practice. So some of you may be lucky to be here all afternoon, or not all afternoon, but a big portion of it anyway. And we do appreciate, that so much for all of you that come to be a part of it. Graduation Sunday will be June the 9th. Will be June the 9th, and let's all be prepared for that. And then baby dedication service will also be June the 9th. And that, of course, will be little Hannah's and little Whitley. And I'll get that right in a little bit, little Whitley. So let's remember them. The Tower, the Singing Towers, will be here on June the 30th. We'll be presenting a 4th of July service of song and songs and blend. And we hope and all the all can come and be with us and be here for that.
Mm-hmm. So what time will that be?
That'll be 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that. 6 o'clock. Uh-huh. All right. Any announcements I may have overlooked?
Claire,
yes.
Just remind everybody about that. That's next Saturday.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you read that, folks. I'm sorry. I can remember that. Read that because I can't announce it because it'll go on the web and it's supposed to be a surprise. Okay. I doubt that it's going to be much surprise, but we'll see.
According to him this week, it's still a surprise.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. All right, then. We'll let it go at that.
Because he asked how we was keeping quiet.
All right. Very good. All righty. Let's see. All right, so there's any other announcements? I want to be sure I get everything covered. Okay. Then let's go to our prayer request this morning. I've got quite a few prayer requests from Sunday school and some other areas that people have asked this morning. I've got some a list to you now. Prayer with Daniel Eford family of the child that was accidentally killed. I know that's a horrible, horrible thing for the family to deal with, so let's remember them. Jeff K., you got a praise report? And
yes, sir. My leg feels much better. I broke the tennis shoes. If you're ready to make that lap around the church, so
all right. We're ready to do it. We're ready to do it. That's a challenge, by the way. So you may win this morning. I don't know the way they say it. No doubt about it. Let's remember the Randy Thompson family as well. Let's remember my wife, Donna. She was diagnosed with macular degeneration this week, and so we need to keep her in our prayers. And thank God it's the slow-active kind, so we'll just need to keep her in our prayers. Jay and Betsy Gibson, let's remember that family in our prayer. Angela, you're having a CT scan, and we want to keep in prayer for you. For the next coming week, so we'll do that for you. And let's also remember the mission family and the families of the mission family that was killed in Haiti. What an awful, horrible thing to do. And I understand that country is just absolutely gone, absolutely uncontrollable. And so that's sad, very, very sad. Are there any announcements, any prayer requests that I may have overlooked? Anyone to add? Yes, Carol. Gail. Okay, brother-in-law. Okay.
Mike Brewer.
What now?
Mike Brewer.
Not Mike Brewer. Okay.
Yes,
yeah, we've got him. Yeah. Okay, that's the family of Mike Brewer. Okay. All right. Got it. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us, an opportunity you've given us, Lord, to worship. But Lord, on this special day, Lord, as we stop and we do what we should do more often, and that is to honor and to be thankful, Lord, for those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Lord, those who unselfishly gave that we may have, we stop at this moment now and say thank you. God bless the families who have had to live without them. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for them, and most of all, Lord, the willingness to go and to serve. We thank you, Lord, for our living veterans, Lord, as well, who have also served. And you have seen fit to spare their lives and let them be active, Lord, to help us and witness to us.
We thank you for them as well. Now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we want to be thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ed. We ask you bless him, bless our team, our praise team, Lord, will be coming to sing later. We pray for them as well. Pray for Brother Jeff, Lord, as he's on top up there this morning by himself. We ask a blessing upon him. But then, Lord, the families, Lord, that we've been asked to remember, Lord. We want to lift them up to you, Lord, and those people. We pray for the Daniel Eford family. And Lord, we pray for Jeff K., the praise report he'd been given. Randy Thompson family, we pray for them. We ask the prayer for Donna, Lord, as she's working with it, the doctors are working with her. We pray for Jay and Betsy Gibson, Angela and her CT scan, Lord, we pray for her. And then the family, Lord, of the missionaries that were killed so brutally in Haiti, we pray for them. And then we pray for the Mike Brewer family as well. Now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon all that will be done. And we give all the glory and honor. And all the people said, amen. As I was talking about Memorial Day, I want to mention the fallen, the ones the Lord in the military, Lord, who have passed away. And Jeff will get that up on the board. You'll see. The ones we're going to lift, and I'm going to call their names and mention their names. Paul Barbie, World War I. Ernest R. Burris, United States Army. Hugh W. Balcom, World War II. Alan Davis, United States Marines. Floyd L. Udy, United States Army. Harvey Lee Udy, United States Army. Artis Hatley, United States Navy. Vernon Hatley, United States Army. William L. Jackman, Jr., United States Marines. Charlie McClester, United States Army. Clayton Ted Morgan, United States Army. Jimmy Morton, United States Army. Gurney O. Smith, United States Navy. Paul L. Thompson, United States Army. John C. Chuck Walker, United States Navy. Don E. Whitley, United States Army. Lord A. Whitley, United States Army. Houston A. Yao, United States Army. Did I miss anyone? Again, we're so thankful, and we give our thanks to them and their families. Okay, praise team, if you all would come. We picked out a song, the praise team, to sing for you this morning, and I don't know whose idea it was to do this a cappella, but wasn't Todd's, whoever it was, we decided we'd do this a cappella this morning, and so we're going to do that. It's My Country, Tisafee is the name of the song, and we all know it. You can sing along with us if you want to do that. And so, ladies, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry, Mike. All right. Tonda, you got anything you want to say since you picked this out, a cappella?
No, I just think the tribute, and I just think a cappella means so much to hear the words and the music, just the words to the song to just reflect. And we thank all the ones that have served, that's still with us, and all those gone on before. So just pay attention to the song itself. It says a lot, and of course we couldn't leave out a verse. They blame that on me, but it tells a story, so we need to have them all.
All right, Brendan.
My country's tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride,
there's a video that Rita brought to us, and we looked at it and we thought this is just perfect for today. So we'll close the music portion of the program with this video. Pay attention to this, and it's exactly what we would all need to be saying. Listen, Mr. Blake.
Tall with pride, the American way. Duty beckoned, they met the call. All gave some, some gave all. Remember those brave warriors, place flags. Be sure to pray. Men who fought for our freedom, shed blood for a brighter day. When duty beckoned, always stood tall. All gave some, some gave all. America, always wave. Our country they protected, our future they helped save. True heroes we honor, our duty on this day. Remember all the fallen on this Memorial
like in Normandy and other places where those graves, those crosses stretch out for acres and acres and acres. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if we don't wake up, we're going to lose some of this. We're going to lose some of it. We need to wake up. Years ago, I heard a not so funny joke, because there's some truth in it. Seems that this church called a new pastor. He came in on Sunday, first Sunday there, and he preached a stem-winded sermon. They said, man, we got us a preacher. And they were so excited. Well, the next Sunday, he preached the same sermon. They said, well, maybe he's just moving in and hadn't got everything in order. Mistake. Third Sunday, he preached the same sermon. Now they're getting puzzled. Fourth Sunday, he preached the same sermon. So the deacons got concerned. They called him in and said, now, preacher, that's a good sermon. We've really enjoyed it all four times, but don't you have another sermon? He said, I got plenty of sermons, but there's no use preaching another one. You hadn't done what I told you to do in that first one yet. How do you judge how good a preacher is? By how many people come to the altar? How many amens you hear? Whether people jump pews and run the aisles? How biblical it is? How many tears are shed? I think if we be honest, the way we ought to judge our preachers is this. Not what happens on Sunday morning, but by what happens when the members get up on Monday morning out of bed until they go to bed on Saturday night. Because it doesn't make hardly any difference at all what happens on Sunday morning if it doesn't change Monday through Saturday. That's the important thing. How has it changed our lives? And one of the frustrations of a pastor sometimes is that you see people that are stirred, but nothing changes. But evidently it's not a modern problem. It goes back to the New Testament. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. We're going to look at a lot of that chapter eventually. But we'll start with verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James is pretty blunt there. He said, we just deceive ourselves if we hear the word of God and don't do it. He says, it's not a matter of how much word of God that we know, it's how much of word of God that we do. It's whether or not it changes our lives. And he gives an illustration about looking in the mirror and then forgetting what we saw. You ever get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and as a man, you say, oh, I need to shave. Or as a woman, I need to put my makeup on. And you get busy doing breakfast, getting dressed, getting ready for work or school. And you get in the car, and about halfway to work or halfway to school, you flip down the and you're looking, oh, I forgot to shave. I forgot to put my makeup on. You know, we look, but we forget. And James says, don't just be a hearer of God's word. Don't just let it affect how you are on Sunday morning. Allow the word of God to change the way you live. Monday morning through Saturday night. And he tells us some of the ways that this needs to happen. In verse 21, the last part of it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He said, first thing you need to do is allow God's word to be engrafted into your life. Not tied on, but engrafted. Now, you can go down and take some limbs off of a tree and take a piece of string or rope, and you can tie them onto that tree. And what they're going to dry up and die. But if somebody that knows what they're doing cuts that notch in there and fixes that limb in there and grafts that limb in, that limb can live and bear fruit. It all depends upon whether or not the limb is grafted in or just tied on. And there are lots of folks that have tied on a lot of the word of God, but it's not grafted in their hearts. And James says we need to graft the word of God with meekness. In other words, hey, I don't know it all. I can still learn. It wasn't here. You know, I've told this many times, but I can remember standing down at my first church. I was just about right there. And one of my deacons walked by and he says, well, I won't be coming back much to church anymore. I know all I need to know. And he's, you know, I thought he's pretty old because I was 23 and he's about 50. Now he was a kid looking from this side of the fence. But, you know, it just staggered my mind to think here was a man that was a church leader that said, I know all the Christianity I need to know. There was no meekness there. There was no humility there. There was no openness to God grafting any new revelation. And if we'll be honest with ourselves and study the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, He can keep giving us new revelation, new insight, new learning as long as we live. It's amazing how much you can continue to learn over the years. James says, listen, allow the Word of God to be engrafted into your heart. Realize you don't know it all. And that Word is able to save your soul. In other words, change you. That Word is able to make a difference in your life. Now, there's some other ways that changed life is manifested. Go back to verses 13 through 15. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He said, first, we need to recognize temptation didn't come from God. God didn't set that liquor bottle in front of you and say, drink. God didn't tell those people in Haiti, go kill those missionaries. God didn't tell you to look at somebody else's spouse and commit adultery. He said, God is not tempting us. Temptation's from the devil. It's always from the devil. The Bible sort of breaks it down in one place, it says the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, the flesh wants some things. The flesh wants things. You've heard me say this before, but you can fill this room up with liquor. And I can lay down here on the floor and go to sleep, and I'm not tempted at all. But please don't fill it up with banana pudding. Persimmon pudding. or some other things. There's temptations. My flesh likes some certain things, and I imagine yours does too. And the devil tempts us. But he said, God doesn't tempt us. Now, in verse 19, he deals with something else. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now notice what we're getting at. James tells us, don't just be a hearer of the word of God, be a doer. And so one of the ways we are doers is why we engraft the word of God into our hearts and into our lives. Another way that we are doers is when we deal with temptation. And notice back in verse 12, which we didn't read, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He said, when you endure, when you overcome temptation, there's special blessings of God. So we do the word as we engraft it. We do the word as we resist temptation. And then he says in verse 19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It's going to affect our willingness to hear apologies, to hear explanations, to hear words of forgiveness. It's going to affect how fast we respond. How we lash out at others. And it's going to affect our anger. Now, if you flip on down to verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And then verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anybody you know that you describe them by saying he or she has a short fuse? You know anybody with a short fuse? You can't hardly say a word around them without them blowing up. If they say they're a Christian, there's something lacking in their Christianity, according to James. Now, I realize that if you're driving nails and you hit your thumb, something may pop out before you meant for it to. But people that go through life, they're just angry. They're angry at everything that's going on. And there are people like that you can't satisfy. If you go outside and you say, oh, it's a beautiful day, they're going to be, it's not so pretty. If you go out and say, well, you look like cloudy. Well, I see the sun shining. You know, they're going to pick a fight. He says, the wrath of man doesn't do the will of God. We need to be careful with our anger. And that person with a short fuse needs to lengthen the fuse. To be a doer of the word, we deal with what's coming out of our mouth. What's going into our ears. How we respond in various situations. How often do you see on the news, so-and-so was shot, it was a road rage. Somebody cut them off, they pulled out their pistol and just shot into their vehicle. rage, road rage. Shouldn't be that way with Christians. Now, we need to be angry at sin. Jesus got angry at the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. It makes me angry to see the murder of innocent people, like in Haiti. Every time I see on TV somebody's abused some child, I get angry. But it's not, but it's a righteous anger. It's not an anger that wants to lash out. He says, be careful about that. And then look at verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart, lay aside, put down, have nothing to do with filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. And then in verse 27, the last phrase, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. He says if we're going to be doers of the word, we're going to live differently than non-believers. I've been greatly troubled the last few years to see prominent people in the news proclaim their Christianity and then see that they've had their fifth kid with a third different person they weren't married to, or to see them in an interview and it's blankety blank this and it's blankety blank that, and then sexual innuendos, and I'm thinking there's something wrong with their version of Christianity. James says, lay apart, lay aside filthiness, naughtiness. Be unspotted from the world. In other words, our Christianity shouldn't be just a Sunday morning thing. Our Christianity should be a Monday through Saturday deal. You know, as a pastor, when you go out and you're witnessing to a young man who's got teenage daughters and they all ought to be in church, and he says, preacher, if you knew which of your church members assembled where I assembled on Saturday nights, I'm not talking about Barber's Grove, praise the Lord, and I know you praise the Lord, but it makes you wonder who are, and he wouldn't tell me who they were. Who are these members who frequent places that the ungodly frequent, and yet they show up on Sunday morning and look how holy I am? They're not doers of the word. They may be hearing the word of God, but they're not doing the word of God. And he says, lay all of that aside. In other words, it's a choice. It's a choice. I can go home this afternoon and I can wear my jacket and my tie all afternoon, but I'm taking it off the minute I go in the door. I'm laying it aside. It's my choice. I mean, I can wear my tie and my coat all afternoon, but I choose to lay it aside. And see, if it's a choice, then that means it's within our power to do it. Through the Holy Spirit. God enables us through the Holy Spirit to do it. To be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And then in the last verse of that chapter, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to minister to those who are helpless. People who are hungry, people who need a place to live, people who need clothing, people who have spiritual needs, they don't know Jesus, people who have emotional needs, they need counseling, they need encouragement, people who are depressed, they need to be lifted up, people who are sick and need to be prayed for. He said, whatever their need is, people are lonely. that need a call. He said, a part of doing the Word of God is to have our eyes open to the spiritual, physical, financial needs of others around us and do it. Now, if you remember last week, I told you the story. It reminds you of what I wrote several weeks ago about a Sunday school class that had adopted this class, this family, and were doing everything they could to meet their need. And this other church group that came in and had offered them no help but just chewed them out because they weren't bringing their kids to their church. James says, hey, if your religion is real, it's going to show in the way you treat those who are helpless. It's going to result in the way you treat people that have needs. I don't know why I had this dream last night, but I had this dream, and this family member, through Pam, was asking me for, and they have several kids, and were asking me for some help with food. And I remember saying, I'm not going to help you. Now, I've helped them many times in the past, and I never got a thank you. So, but all of a sudden, Pam says, you're going to let them go away hungry? Is that the best you can do? Now, why I had that dream, I don't know. Maybe it goes with this message. But the point is, are we open and sensitive? Not to help the scammers and the deadbeats, but those who have real need. Our hearts are going to be open. Doers, not just hearers, but doers. You say, well, how in the world, preacher, do we accomplish all that? In the very first of the chapter, in the 5th and 6th verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says, in faith, in belief, ask the Lord for wisdom. And see, like for one person, the person with a short fuse maybe need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've dealt with short fuse all my life. How do I deal with that? How do I lengthen that fuse? What do I need to do to learn to control my temper? Or Lord, I've gossiped all my life. How do I learn to control that and be careful what I say about others? Lord, I've had a hard, stingy heart all of my life. How do I open my heart up? In a devotional this week, I was reading. This person was out collecting money for, the needy. And they go to this very wealthy man and say, we could use your financial help with the needy in our community. He said, I'll have you know, I've got a brother that was disabled in the war. I've got a mother that's going blind. I've got a sister whose husband died and left her with 3 kids and she can't hardly feed them. And so the person that was soliciting the fund started to say, well, I didn't realize, you had so many obligations. But before they could really get that out, the person they were asking for money said, and if I'm not going to help them, you think I'm going to help you? Now, I think it was just an illustration in a devotional. But the point is, how open are our hearts for God to use us to bless others? And it's not always a big amount. It doesn't have to be in the thousands. Sometimes somebody just needs a meal. Sometimes somebody just needs you to go to the store and buy them a $2.95 encouragement card and write some nice words in there and say, thank you for being my Sunday school teacher. Thank you for being my youth leader. Thank you for being my friend. And put a 60-70 cent stamp on it and mail it, and you spent less than $4 and they've been blessed. You see, it's not how much religion we know. It's not how much Bible we know. James says, don't just be a hearer, be a doer of the word. And when we do that, we are blessed and we become a blessing. And as we become a blessing, and it's not a matter of saying, well, you know, beating ourselves up, but saying, well, I'm not doing too well, preacher. It's a matter of saying, Lord, give me wisdom to do better. And I pray that all of us are better than we were 2 years ago, 5 years ago. And I pray that if Jesus tarries 10 years from now, 5 years from now, we're all going to be better than we were today. Now, don't make me preach the same sermon next week. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you need to come to the altar, feel free to come. If right where you are, the Holy Spirit convicts you, repent, ask for wisdom to change whatever it is that brought the conviction. If the Lord laid upon your heart some ministry, some family, some individual that you could bless, would you do it? Would you promise to do it? Father, the desire of our heart is not just come to church and hear your word. The desire of our heart is for Jesus to be seen in us 24/7. Father, as the little chorus says, may they know we're Christians by our love. Oh, Father, so fill us with the love of Jesus that that love spills over on all that we encounter. Lord, may we lift up a loving Jesus and people be drawn to that love. Not a hateful, judgmental Jesus, but a loving Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.